Haunted Inns and Taverns by Andrew Green. Chapter 1. A Variety of Hauntings. There are few people who would disclaim the possible existence of ghosts, whatever they may be, spirits, visible examples of former lives, or images in some form of electromagnetic energy. Perhaps because of the increasing amount of testimony in the form of statements from reliable witnesses, together with photographic, electronic, and sometimes evidence captured by a video camera, some 10 million people in the United Kingdom freely admit to having experienced some psychic incident or manifestation. Surveys indicate that the 10,000 allegedly haunted sites in Britain include a large percentage of the estimated 60,000 hostelries in the country, many of which are affected in some way by phantoms of various kinds. In general, it seems difficult to reproduce the genial atmosphere of a typical British pub, though a number of attempts have been made, and copies can be found in Europe, America, and even the Far East. A few have reproduced the ambiance so successfully that ghostly manifestations, such as might be associated with a genuine article, have occurred there. The Raffles Hotel in Singapore, for example, is haunted by the ghostly sound of a young child singing Mary Had a Little Lamb. So well established is this unusual haunting that for safety reasons the manager had to ban the burning of joss sticks and the offering of incense to appease the disturbed spirit. Another ghostly incident, probably associated with the English but in the United States, was reported in 1993. It affected the Battery Carriage House Inn in Charleston, South Carolina. A visiting engineer from North Carolina suddenly woke one night to see the outline of a big man, broad and barrel-chested, wearing several layers of clothing, standing beside the bed. I managed to let out a bit of a squeal, and the ghost vanished. On investigation, it was learned that pirates used to be brought to the inn and hanged from a tree on the battery. This convinced me that the phantom I saw was that of an old pirate hanged centuries ago. Ballygawley Castle Hotel in County Antrim is a reminder of the extensive migration of Scots to Northern Ireland in the 16th and 17th centuries. The castle was built in 1625 by James Shaw, originally of Greenock in Scotland, but it was enlarged in Victorian times, and even a former dungeon has now been converted into a lounge bar to enhance the atmosphere. One of the three ghosts that reside here may well be that of Lady Shaw, who, because of the heartless attitude of her husband, committed suicide by jumping from a tower window. Her footsteps have been heard crossing the bar, and a member of the staff is convinced that he saw her. The sound of a rustling dress passing along a corridor and the inexplicable knocking on a certain bedroom door have, however, been associated with the invisible ghost of a Madame Nixon. But a guest who complained about the noise coming from the affected room saw the door slowly open to reveal a group of people wearing 17th-century costume. They were all miming as if enjoying a silent party, but the guest was later assured that there was no one there, let alone a group staying in that room. Emphasizing the number of cases of hauntings associated with former religious sites is the incident in 1978 experienced in the Royal Hotel in Cooper, Fife, in Scotland. One of the assistant managers, on passing the functions room, noticed a light had been left on, and, approaching the open doorway, saw a tall, hooded figure, resembling that of a monk, glide across the room. On reaching the far wall, the figure vanished, and the light went out. Some weeks later, a regular guest at the hotel witnessed an identical incident, even noticing that the door handle was freezing. The chief librarian of the region, in offering an explanation, pointed out that the hotel was constructed on the burial ground of St. Catherine's Abbey. Wales has also been affected by English attitudes and imposed culture, and one instance of this could well be that which affects the Llangoed Hall Hotel in Anglesey. Accepted by most witnesses as the antics of the ghost of Denzil Christie, a 14-year-old boy, is the havoc frequently found in the kitchen, where furniture is constantly rearranged by unseen hands. The lad has been seen both in the library and in room 1 of the hotel. Although the reason for his untimely death was given officially as a hunting accident, a local historian firmly believes Denzil was so appalled by the prospect of having to return to Eton that he shot himself. It's a well-established fact, confirmed by an examination of any collection of hauntings, that few provide evidence of any injury to witnesses. The concept of ghosts can often make some people a little apprehensive, but genuine apparitions can never actually harm anyone, even though they may, as has been claimed at the Five Ways Inn in Worcester, be seen to throw things, in this case a brass model aeroplane at a witness. Some believe that ghosts can continue to exist for centuries and remain as visible examples of former lives only if witnessed by a person whose mind is in neutral at the time. This idea can account for the majority of ghosts, both of the dead and of the living. The case of the latter occurred at the Ancient Britain pub in Mile End, London, in 1975. Jim Marling was putting a crate of beer into the lift and turned to see the figure of a short, blonde lady, wearing glasses and with her arms folded, looking intently at him. But she just faded away after a couple of seconds. Jim made some inquiries about the ghost, only to discover that she was Florrie Clark, the former landlady, who was living quite happily some miles away in Goodmayes, Essex. "It's funny to be a ghost," she said, "but I must admit that I often picture myself being back in the old pub, watching Fred in the cellar putting another crate in the lift." It was in the 1980s that the manager of the Beehive in Coinage Hall Street, Helston, Cornwall, confirmed that his pub was haunted. When a local folk singer, who had been hired for the evening, went upstairs, he saw the figure of an old lady sitting in a rocking chair. He turned to ask a member of the staff what the unknown visitor was doing there, but, on hearing a crash, turned to find that both the old lady and the chair had vanished, and not down the stairs. The most convincing evidence of the other haunting at the pub is the number of visitors who have actually seen the ghost of a 30-year-old man, always in shadow and after 10 at night. Locals believe that he is one of the victims of two murders that occurred in the pub some 150 years ago. But the problem with this idea is that the figure appears in modern-style clothing, so maybe it is another case of a living ghost. Another London pub, the Horns in Crucifix Lane, SE1, used to suffer so severely from the sound of a young girl, thought to be Mary Isaac, crying for her mother, that Canon Pierce Higgins was called upon in 1979 to exorcise the ghost. This he did successfully, but the phantom of an unknown old woman still continues to glide about, though causing no trouble. Chapter 2. A ghost caught on video and an unfrocked vicar. An unusual case of a ghost appearing on a video is that in the old Duke of Wellington pub in Neath, West Glamorgan, when a number of weird disturbances have occurred. Alarms and lights go off for no reason, mysterious bangs and crashes are heard, and a feeling of being watched by an invisible presence is experienced. On one occasion, a barmaid noticed a tall man disappear through the closed front door. But the highlight of the haunting was obtaining a record of the ghost on the security video in July 1993. The tape clearly shows the back door swinging open by itself, and then the misty figure of a tall man appears to glide swiftly across the picture until he moves out of range. No rational explanation has been forthcoming. A more conventional haunting affected a London pub associated with Jack the Ripper, the renowned Old Bull and Bush in North End Road, Hampstead. In 1985, some rusting surgical knives and a skeleton wearing remnants of clothing were discovered in a bricked-up cellar in the building. It was thought that it was part of a tunnel under a house owned by a surgeon who practised in the Whitechapel area, but for many years prior to the discovery, customers and staff had been puzzled by the ghost of a Victorian-looking gentleman seen crouched on a stool in the saloon bar. Another unusual mystery surrounds the Union Pub in Rye in East Sussex. The building seems to be haunted by the ghost of a young, unmarried mother who was killed when she fell down the cellar steps. But the previous tenant of the 15th-century building had often heard the sound of someone walking along an empty corridor upstairs. During 1992, the new owner saw the ghost of a 17-year-old girl walk through the kitchen area and learned that several members of his staff had also witnessed the phantom, as well as sensing her presence. During visit by researchers in 1993, sounds of banging were heard, laser-like flashes were seen, and the bar door to the kitchen opened and closed by itself. A few days later, a medium described the ghost of a tall man in what could be a naval uniform or perhaps that of a customs officer, a description that matched that of a figure seen a few days earlier. The title of the oldest haunted inn continues to be the subject of speculation and debate. One of the many claims is that made by another tavern in Rye, the Mermaid, which was reopened in 1420 to replace an earlier building which had been offering hospitality since 1300. The haunting was first experienced when the building was a private club. A guest awoke early one morning to see two men in doublets and hose fighting a silent duel, a fight thought to be between a member of the notorious Hawkhurst gang of smugglers and a customs officer. Another ghost here is that of a 17th-century maid, thought to have been killed by her smuggler lover and his gang after she found out too much about their illegal activities. An even older pub, the Trip to Jerusalem in Castle Rock, Nottingham, is stated to have been built in 1189 to provide refreshment to crusaders before they began their journey to the Holy Land. The main ghostly incident occurred one October evening during the Second World War, when a group of American soldiers were leaving to return to their billets and heard a woman's voice shouting from an empty room, "Belle fille, ayez pitié de gentil Mortimer." The mystified servicemen learned later that in October 1330, Roger Mortimer, Earl of March, had committed a ghastly murder and taken up residence with the king's mother. The king, Edward III, accompanied by a group of soldiers, burst into his mother's room and, despite her pleadings to have pity on the gentle Mortimer, seized the earl and dragged him to the Tower of London, where he was found guilty of killing the king's father. He was taken to Tyburn, where he was hanged, drawn, and quartered. One of the most ancient London taverns is Ye Olde Gatehouse in Highgate West Hill, for its first licence was issued in 1310. The poor old lady ghost in a black dress, who is occasionally witnessed in the rear part of the premises, has been named as Mother Marnes, a widow and former owner who was murdered for her money when drovers used to bring their cattle up to Smithfield Market in London. But she never appears when children are in the pub. An old man with a short white beard and a battered hat who seems to be searching for something is the description given of the ghostly figure haunting the 200-year-old Blue Ball in Oldbury, West Midlands. The licensee is one of a number of witnesses to the mysterious old ghost, but, like many owners of haunted properties, they consider their unknown guest to be one of the family, though wishing they knew what he was looking for. He wears 18th-century clothing, so cannot be associated with the bundle of 10-shilling notes discovered under a loose brick in the cellars some years ago. The only disturbing aspect is that occasionally the old man has been seen peering into the tenant's bedroom, and several times simply walking through a wall in the public bar. The ghost of a Dutch cavalry officer has frequently been seen in the 14th-century pub called the Dun Cow in Abbey Foregate, Shrewsbury, Shropshire. This rather unusual phantom is accounted for by the report that one of Prince Rupert's stewards was murdered here by a Dutch army officer, who was hanged for the crime in the stables. Another weird phantom, witnessed in the same pub by the landlord and his wife, is that which appears to be a monk, wearing a habit of very coarse material, but covered in thousands of different coloured dots. It is most unusual for poltergeist activity to last more than a few months, unless there is constant stress being suffered by someone associated with the affected site. The Mill Inn in Withington, Gloucestershire, is one such building, where wine bottles and a number of kitchen utensils have been thrown around. But in 1990, the sighting of three ghosts was added to the haunting record. An old woman, wearing a wide-brimmed hat with a veil covering her features, was seen sitting by the fireside with misty figures of two men standing behind her. "The trio looked like some old faded photograph," said one witness, who suggested that the woman might be the former landlady who was drowned in the nearby River Colne. The haunting by the ghost of an unfrocked vicar must be unique, but that is what occurs in the Old Stocks Hotel in Stow-on-the-Wold in Gloucestershire. A resident staying in room 17 in 1989 woke to see the figure of an elderly vicar leaning over her, and from the description she gave of the apparition before it faded away, it was possible to identify it as that of the Reverend Alan Burr, who, it seems, also plays an invisible piano occasionally. As the majority of ghosts remain anonymous, affectionate nicknames are provided to give them some form of status or acceptability. One such is Bunty, the phantom of an unknown serving wench seen on at least three occasions since 1974 in the Beehive pub in Bath, Avon. The favourite places for her appearance are the hallway, where she just stands for a second or two before vanishing, and in one of the bedrooms. Some of the mysteries surrounding haunted sites can also be caused by conflicting stories, or are just simple tales created to amuse or frighten children. There are, for example, a number of explanations for the ghost at the George Hotel in Wallingford, Oxfordshire, but all relate to the sighting of a sad woman in Room 3, better known as the Teardrop Room, in which one wall is covered in plasterwork resembling tear or pear drops. The popular idea is that the apparition is that of a suicide, who, on learning of the sudden death of her lover in a fight, mixed soot with her tears and plastered the wall with her sorrowful misery before hanging herself in the bedroom. In addition to the unhappy ghost, two phantom children standing by a hand basin in one of the rooms have also been reported. One wonders if they are related to the suicide. Chapter 3. Phantom Cats and Dogs and Ladies in Red. In the small Cumbrian village of Brough, which sits astride the Swindale Beck, is the Traveller's Rest, the residence of a ghostly woman in a long black gown holding a large bunch of keys. Some believe that she is associated in some way with the nearby castle. She was last seen in November 1985 by a visitor from overseas. South of Washington, in Tyne and Wear, in the hamlet of Fatfield, is the popular 18th-century Havelock Arms, where the unusual figure of a man over 6 feet tall wearing a green silk-threaded waistcoat was seen by a young guest in one of the bedrooms. The deputy manager of the inn confirmed the description matched that of the ghostly Long John, once a regular and popular customer, always seen in a green waistcoat. A few years ago, the author had argued the case for ghosts on a BBC radio program, and a couple of days later was contacted by the former barman of the Old Talbot in Worcester to confirm details of the haunting there. On starting work, he was told that a particular area was haunted by a phantom cat, which was frequently observed rushing through the bar. 2 weeks later, whilst tidying up the bar, he noticed that the Hotel Dalmatian had jumped to its feet, was snarling and trembling with its hackles raised menacingly, and together they watched something invisible pass by. Shortly afterwards, both the manager and the barman not only saw a grey cat-like creature rush past and vanish at one of the locked doors, but, he said, I actually felt it brush against my trouser leg. Is the ghost of a man who hanged himself in the cellars of the Radcliffe Arms in Oldham, Lancashire, during Edwardian times, still haunting the tavern? The landlord and his wife have heard so many reports of his appearance that they have named the pipe-smoking phantom Ernie. He has also been witnessed by their daughter, who, early one morning, went into the bar, spoke to someone, and then came to tell us that there was a customer wanting to be served, but there was no one there. There have been a number of visitors to the Birdcage Inn at Tame in Oxfordshire who have experienced the inexplicable haunting of this old tavern. One noteworthy incident was when two cameramen who were helping to make a film in the town reported having seen a sort of cold mist drifting out of their bedroom door and hearing unidentifiable footsteps on the landing at 2 o'clock in the morning. The men had opened the door, but found nothing to account for the noise, nor for the mysterious movement of the till whenever the haunting was discussed. The phantom voices of an angry couple having an unholy quarrel affect the Naval and Military Inn at East Reach in Taunton, Somerset. A former landlord felt that the atmosphere created by the verbal threats and horrendous abuse from the unseen pair was really evil. It was so bad that we had to close up the bedroom, he told members of a psychic research group. Three other young visitors, fishermen down for the weekend, were so scared of the atmosphere in the room that they came down in the middle of the night to sleep on the floor. An even more unusual haunting occurs in the Lower Angel in Warrington, Cheshire. For here, according to the landlord, barmaids suffer what could be termed as sexual harassment of the basic level. A number of female members of the staff, on bending down, have felt someone or something give their bottom a playful tweak. At first they were extremely annoyed and upset, but on realizing that no humans were anywhere near them at the time, they have come to accept that the ghost of Dick Peabody is responsible. He was notorious in the 19th century for taking delight in caressing full and rounded buttocks. He was also known as a bedswerver, someone unfaithful to his wife. The current landlord feels that no real harm is being suffered, and he prefers to wait and see what, if anything, develops. At the Crown Inn, Alton in Hampshire, scratching noise has often been heard issuing from the chimney breast in the dining room. At first it was thought to be caused by a rat or an unfortunate bird that had fallen from the roof, but the sound of whimpering and scratching has been persistent over the years. Locals believe that the phenomenon results from a dog that was killed by its master in a drunken rage, beating it to death against the chimney. Strength was added to this legend when in 1967 workmen renovating the dining room found the skeleton of a dog that had obviously been very badly treated. One morning in 1991, the new landlords of the Black Boy pub in Upper Halling, Kent, found the bar covered in water and discovered that the glass washing machine had turned itself on during the night and was flooding. On another occasion, the landlord was working in the cellar and, hearing someone on the stairway behind him, turned to see the figure of a woman in red. Because he thought it was his mother, he asked what she wanted, but the woman just turned away and returned upstairs without responding. A few seconds later he went upstairs to find that his mother had not moved from her seat in the saloon bar, but he learnt that a presence had also been felt in the bathroom. Even more disturbing are the effects of the ghostly visitations in the Bell Inn in Bell Road, Hounslow, Middlesex, for here beer kegs are actually smashed and taps left running, despite the double locks on the cellar doors. And the ghost of a tall man who looks like a highwayman is occasionally sighted. A gibbet used to stand opposite the pub, displaying the rotten corpses of such gentlemen of the road. Only a few yards away, on the Staines Road, another pub, the Hussars, is similarly affected by another highwayman, for such a figure has been seen striding through the corridors towards the cellars. Here mysterious shadows have been noted by members of the staff, who have also discovered locked doors opening and closing on their own, and curtains thrown open after being closed for the night. The tenant of the Bridge Inn, Stapleton, North Yorkshire, was so concerned with the incidents in his pub in 1993 that he was considering calling for an exorcism. The ghostly footsteps continue, but of greater concern are the facts that gas cookers have been switching themselves on even when the pub has been closed, and doors linked to a sophisticated security system have been found unlocked. Ulverston Manor at Clapton Bridge in Warwickshire, now a hotel, was formerly a Tudor manor house. Shakespeare's first open-air performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream took place at the manor, which stands on a former Saxon burial ground. The ghost that haunts the place, however, is that of neither a Saxon warrior nor of the bard, but that of a little girl who died alone during a grand party held during the early 20th century. Her sad little figure is sometimes seen sitting at the bottom of the four-poster bed in the room in which she was discovered, but how she died has never been established. What puzzled a journalist who hoped to see the ghost was being woken by the sound of a man in an upper room talking very loudly. On inquiring as to who was staying in the room, she was assured that there was no room above her bedroom, and, what is more, none next to it. Chapter 4. Dick Whittington and an Army Officer. In the 16th century, an apprehensive emperor of Austria tried to ensure that no ghosts disturbed his sleep when staying in taverns or hotels in his travels around Europe by calling on his troops to visit the establishments on his itinerary well before his arrival. Whether Bill Clinton, the President of the United States, tried to arrange the same procedure prior to his visit to Aylesbury, Buckinghamshire, in 1994 is not known, but no doubt the White House security team kept an eye open for any phantoms. What is clear is that the apparition of John Lee, the former owner of Hartwell House, where he died in 1866 before it became a hotel, did not appear during the president's stay. Nevertheless, he has been seen several times, sitting quietly in the library there, and sometimes strolling in the garden. Part of the cellars incorporate a tunnel that once led to a nearby monastery, and it is from this area that sounds of clinking glasses and mumbled singing are heard, created, it is thought, by ghostly monks. The Bear, at Chippenham in Wiltshire, is haunted by rather an unusual type of ghost, but one might wonder if there is such a thing as a usual phantom. When a maid, on her way to start work in the pub, glanced up at a bedroom window, she noticed that it was open, and a lady in grey was pulling back the curtain. But a few minutes later, when she went to tidy up, she realised that the window was closed and learnt that no one had stayed there that night, though a barman had reported hearing loud noises from another empty room at the same time. The manager wondered whether the lady in grey could be the ghost of a canoness from Laycock Abbey, before it was dissolved in 1539, for the nun's clothing was described as being of a coarse grey cloth. The Capricorn Club on the military road at Brystone, Isle of Wight, replaced a roadhouse built in 1972 on the site of a former officer's billet that had been destroyed in the Second World War by a bomb which killed 10 men. In one part of the tavern there have been several instances of customers suddenly feeling overpowered with sadness and of being aware of an unknown figure. "He looks like an army officer," said one witness. The newly appointed manager of the King's Arms in St. Mary's Street, Bedford, told the author in November 1994 that there was no doubt that his pub was haunted. "My cellarman has seen him, the ghost, once, as a youngish man in a short-sleeved shirt, and a friend has also heard the footsteps in the same locality." There could well be a connection between these incidents and the fact that the building was originally a monastery and then a morgue. A few years ago, a respected research group spent 3 days investigating the ghostly happenings at the Golden Lion Hotel in St. Ives, Cambridgeshire. The belief is that the ghost of Oliver Cromwell haunts the place because it was his headquarters, but the phantom more often described is that of Ivy, the Green Lady. Her portrait hangs in the restaurant and is thought to be that of Cromwell's mistress, who acted as a nursemaid to his children before she eventually hanged herself in room 14. A ghostly lady in white resides in the Castle Hotel in Castleton, Derbyshire. She is veiled, being the phantom of a jilted bride who committed suicide as a result of being left in the lurch at the church. She is also associated with the apparition of a youngish man in a pinstripe suit, who is occasionally seen with her. Ghosts seldom die away completely unless aided, and despite attempts to dispense with the hauntings in the Crown Hotel in Market Street, Poole, Dorset, phenomena continue. One day in 1975, the milkman told the licensee that he was getting upset by the sound of children screaming, and the wife of the landlord agreed, having also heard the distressing disturbance. Since then, more ghostly happenings have been experienced, including the sound of a piano being played, and, even less enchanting, the sound of something heavy, like a body, being dragged across a floor in a room above the stable block. Locals believe that a previous landlord killed his 2 deformed children after imprisoning them for months in the stables. One day in 1750, Betty Radcliffe, owner of the Bell Hotel in King Street, Thetford, Norfolk, died, either by committing suicide by jumping from a balcony outside room 12, or by being murdered by her lover and thrown from the gallery. Whatever the cause of her death, the sound of her distressing cries and sobs has often been reported by guests staying in an adjoining room, and on occasions her ghost has been witnessed walking slowly along a nearby corridor, wringing her hands in a state of anguish and utter misery. Who better to haunt the Whittington Inn in Kinver, Staffordshire, than Dick Whittington himself, the former owner, or even Lady Jane Grey, who lived there as a child? Figures of both are claimed to have been seen over the years, but more substantial has been the testimony of a former waiter at the tavern, who provided a signed statement concerning his vivid and unpleasant experience in a particular bedroom, though he was not the only sufferer. The incident, which all agreed was certainly no nightmare, consisted of a feeling of an inexplicable pressure on both legs and my neck, whilst the atmosphere in the room seriously affected a dog, for it was obvious that some invisible force was holding him down on the floor. Considered by some to be well established is the ghost of Dorothy Foster, which is stated to haunt the Lord Crewe Arms in Blanchland on the borders of Durham and Northumberland. The more tangible haunting is that of a weird knocking accompanied by a weird sensation, and for three guests, feeling a thump at the bottom of the bed, all occurring in the Banborough room. In another room, a figure of a monk has been seen, and is assumed to be a former resident of the abbot's guest house, which was on the site up to the 16th century. Practically every trade and profession is represented by ghosts, although violinists seem to be few and far between. One case that has been recorded is at the Castle Hotel in Taunton, Somerset. The hotel was once part of the castle, where the Duke of Monmouth's officers were billeted before the Battle of Sedgemoor. On occasions, the sound of a violin being played has been heard, but the musician has been seen only once, one Christmas Eve, when she appeared in a beautiful gown of a 17th-century design, before gently fading away. Not far from the famous Aintree Racecourse, near Kirkby in Merseyside, lies Melling Hall Hotel, which has at least two active ghosts. One of these is that of Lady Darlington, who owned the building during the early 20th century. She has been observed near one of the main stairways. Also seen is the phantom of a small but nevertheless ghostly dog, complete with name tag hanging from its collar. Originally a hostel for the Knights Templar, but later used by King John as a courthouse, the Angel and Royal Hotel in Grantham is now a delightful centre for visitors to Lincolnshire. A building with such a history might be expected to be full of shades of the past, but the only haunting here is that of an unknown lady in a white gown who glides rather sedately through the second and third floor corridors. There has been the occasional report of a certain bedroom being afflicted with a shaking bed, but it only shudders for about half a minute, according to one victim. A Devon pub that reported an interesting haunting in 1994 was the Smuggler's Haunt Hotel in Brixham, where staff have seen the reflection of a man at an empty table when they glance in a mirror. A guest had his bedclothes removed during the night, and a porter saw the figure of a man in his bedroom which vanished on being told to buzz off. The phantom was dressed in 18th-century costume. Chapter 5. Why Inns and Taverns? That hauntings have been fully accepted since olden times is highlighted by the case of Athenodorus, an ancient Greek who, whilst staying in a small tavern some 2,000 years ago, found himself unable to sleep until he had investigated the sudden appearance of a ghostly slave who had directed him to his own burial site. The authenticity of the manacled spectre was confirmed by the finding of a chained skeleton in a grave at the precise spot indicated by the apparition. The age of a building seldom has any relevance to a genuine haunting, although an old house would have seen more life and death than a recently constructed property. To emphasise the value of some of the ancient taverns in the United Kingdom, the British government issued guidelines in October 1994 for the preservation of pubs. But how these can be attuned to ghosts remains to be seen. The small selection of cases described in this book includes an instance of a modern building affected by comparatively recent deaths, the Capricorn Club in the Isle of Wight, whilst some others suggest that renovation or modernisation of the premises has been the catalyst to generate some paranormal phenomenon. Physical disturbance has created a haunting. But wherever people congregate, even for short periods, there is always a risk of tragedy, be it murder, suicide, or simply a sudden accident, as in the Angel, Petworth, in West Sussex. Some years ago, two elderly ladies were staying at the inn, and one evening the younger lady was waiting in the dining room for her friend to come down for dinner, but she never arrived. She had fallen when coming downstairs and was killed. On learning of the tragedy, her companion had a heart attack and died, but her ghost continues to wait near the ingle nook. Some experts think that it is this type of incident that creates a ghost. The shock of learning of the unforeseen death seems to create a mental image of the victim, an apparition. Many of the buildings mentioned in this book stand on sites where tragedy has occurred, or, in even more cases, an appalling incident of unexpected death occurred within their walls. Nevertheless, pubs and taverns are the natural place for a family gathering, entertainment, or simply a quiet drink with friends. It was Dr. Samuel Johnson who asserted that there is nothing which has yet been contrived by man by which so much happiness is produced as by a good tavern or inn. And where better to enjoy the pleasure of home-like comforts than a good tavern or inn, especially one that is haunted? That is the end of Haunted Inns and Taverns by Andrew Green.